This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Monday evening. Preseason week one in the books. The dogs were barking. Unders were coming home in a flurry. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. A whole lot to get to. Good pitching matchups this evening. Our game of the night. We head to the Windy City, Matt Eumanns. Christopher Sanchez on the hill for the Philadelphia Phillies. But how, sir, was your first weekend of football?
I was actually okay. It was not great. It was actually a losing betting week in the NFL preseason, but I had a couple winners on Saturday to make it a little bit better, and I've watched almost all the games and feel like I got a much better read on some of these teams that I wasn't quite sure about, so we'll talk about that throughout the show tonight. By the way, we have a man on the ground at Wrigley Field tonight. This is our game of the night. I decided to call up one of our closest contacts who I know is at Wrigley tonight to get a report on the wind and on his feel for the game. So we'll get to that when we talk about our Cubs-White Sox. Actually, this is a pretty good game tonight.
It's a really good game.
It's very rare when the Chicago baseball teams are both in contention, and that's what we have tonight on the north side of Chicago.
Yeah, we will get to that here in just a moment, but we did get some breaking news, and I heard Mitch and Paul talking about it. If you are invested or looking to invest in the rookie of the year market on the offensive side, big news this weekend. First, you get the Jeremiah Love news that hopefully won't be too significant, but he's apparently dealing with a high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. But the bigger news today, Matt, and maybe we could talk about it from an NFC South standpoint, as Jordan Tyson, the first-round pick out of Arizona State, who, let's be honest, dealt with some injuries at Arizona State as well, he is going to be out 2 months with a hamstring injury that he suffered last week. And we have seen some movement in the futures market. Jordan Tyson right now at DraftKings, 35-1 to win Rookie of the Year. Jeremiah Love, still your betting favorite at plus 475. But I'm going to talk about a spot here in Vegas a little bit later on in the show that maybe you should look at making a play on a Rookie of the Year position. But Matt, pretty significant news, and that's kind of the unfortunate thing. We're in injury time. All we're getting right now is the unfortunate news that comes out during training camps.
I mean, people who love to deliver bad news love this time of year. Right, Tim?
You know what's funny? Huh? I didn't get a text from Matt like I did earlier last week when the Padres swept the Brewers. Then the Brewers go to L.A. and they take 3 of 4. Matt, they did exactly what you wanted. They went 3-5 on their West Coast 3-4 on their West Coast road trip.
They did. They did it the hard way. They lost the first three and got swept in San Diego.
See what
and
then, happened? You gave up hope, Matt. And
it worked.
They go out and they
that's
win 3 of 4 against the Dodgers.
That's how you have to do it. This time of year, when you see breaking news, a lot of times it's breaking bad news, right? It's injury news in the NFL. You're hoping it's not a team. You bet the win total over, or you bet the win in the division. And that's one of the problems with betting yes or betting positive things this time of year. You don't know what sort of injuries are going to come down in camp. Well, you know, in the past, Joe Burrow injuries have torpedoed Bengals futures. So, Tim, if we could rewind to draft night when you and I were sitting here and I said, I wouldn't draft Jordan Tyson this high because he's got a history of injuries. And guys who have a history of injuries, that trend tends to continue in the NFL. Already, we see it happening here with Jordan Tyson. I know a lot of people are so excited about his potential. His athletic ability is off the charts. But guys who can't stay healthy are a problem. And the players who have that track record tend to follow that track record from college to the pros. And we're seeing it here with Jordan Tyson. I think a lot of bettors who've been high on the Saints got to be a little bit disappointed with this news, right? Because one of the reasons you're high on the Saints is this offense should be outstanding this year with Tyler Shuck. Got some experience now at quarterback and the receivers around him. But now it looks like Jordan Tyson could be out 2 months.
We'll play a clip from my Saturday show, Matt, where I chatted with Warren Sharp and his thoughts on the defending NFC South champion Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. So we'll hit that later on in the show. Speaking of the show tonight, Matt, we've got Johnny Avello, his weekly visit for us. How was the action at the book over the weekends for the NFL preseason as well as the MLB action? Jonathan Peterlin from Cleveland, my buddy there at 92.3 The Fan. Matt does afternoons, and we'll get an update on the recap of that Browns debacle on Saturday. Yeah. And then the mustache man himself, America's insider, Brett McMurphy, with the AP Top 25 coming out today. I thought Brett had some really interesting trends regarding the preseason AP Top 25, Matt. So we'll talk to our good friend, Brett McMurphy, at 9 Eastern.
You can call him a good friend now, but after this segment with Brent, you two might not be friends because I don't think he's as high on Notre Dame.
He is not, and he has a trend that is not positive for the Irish with their number 4 ranking in the AP preseason top 25. So a lot of college football, a lot of NFL to come your way. But, Matt, you mentioned it. Let's hit it. The biggest game of the evening is taking place in Chicago.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Chicago Cubs were flying high after they won a Friday matinee, Matt. The Dodgers beat the Brewers on Friday. Going into the weekend, they were just 3 games back of the Brewers in the NL Central. Then the Cubs got smoked on Saturday and Sunday. The White Sox, they're playing well right now. They are in first place in the American League Central. Our buddy Sammy P, he came in studio and said he had a very nice ticket on the Chicago White Sox to win that division. I have a win total of 66.5 that hopefully could cash at some point this week, on the White Sox match. Shota Imanaga will get the start this evening for the Chicago Cubs, as the Cubs right now, $1.54 favorites at Circa. Luis Castillo makes the start for the White Sox. Total sitting at 8 here at Circa, juiced over 8.5 at a couple other spots, juiced under.
So Shota Imanaga has had problems with the long ball in his last 3 starts, and 2 of those starts have been at Wrigley Field against the Dodgers and the Yankees. And in fact, over his last 3 starts, 17 innings, he's allowed a total of 6 home runs. And we'll see if that's an issue for him. On the bright side, over his last 17 innings, he's got 17 strikeouts and no walks. So there's always different ways to spin the numbers. But I talked to our good friend, Sam Panayotovich. I believe he's now with Fox 32 in Chicago.
Yep.
He's at Wrigley Field tonight. He's standing on the field, and he sent me this text. Currently, the wind is blowing in a little bit. But there are people here saying it's going to switch at first pitch. I'm standing at the first third base dugout, and the wind is hitting me in the face from center field. But one of the players said it's going to blow out when the game starts, and that could be a problem for Shota Imanaga. So take that for what it's worth. I mean, that makes it a little bit tricky to bet the total if the wind's blowing in now, and it's going to supposedly switch and blow out when the game starts. But I think the Cubs are probably priced right here tonight. They should be the favorites. They're in better current form. White Sox are playing well, though. And Luis Castillo's got some good numbers you could focus on if you wanted to make a case for the dog. White Sox, plus 143 here at Circa. Cubs, minus 154. I like that tight straddle on the money line there. 10-cent baseball lines. How about that?
White Sox taking 3 straight over the weekend against the Tigers, Matt, to increase their lead in the AL Central to 5.5 games. 6 games over the Twins and the Guardians. The Guardians were aggressive at the deadline. Doesn't look like that's going to reap any benefits, even though right now that wild card for the final spot in the American League for that wild card, I can't believe it. I thought I'd given up hope, and maybe I should continue to give up hope on my Orioles to make the playoffs bet, because right now, this very moment, they are actually in the postseason if the season ended, but they are in a very, very tight race. I mean, hell, the big disappointment that is the Seattle Mariners could backdoor their way into the playoffs here. They're only 2.5 games out.
That's hard to believe with Cal Raleigh having one of the worst seasons in baseball history for a guy who was an MVP contender the previous year. By
the
way,
he's got less hits than home runs than he did last year.
He had 60 homers last year. What's he got, like 50?
55 hits or something.
55 hits right now? That's insane. Talking about Luis Castillo, over the season, and we're talking about the White Sox starter tonight, his numbers aren't that great, but he is off a strong start at Cincinnati, 6 scoreless innings with 10 strikeouts. Tim, tell us about the pro picks plays in this game tonight. I'm shocked to see that Dustin Swedelson and Jensen Lewis have plays on this game.
Those guys never bet. I can't believe they got picks over the VSiN Pro page. So Dustin Swedelson, host of Cashing Out, happy to have Dustin back in his normal spot after our program. He's going with the White Sox first five money line, so plus 130 there. Zachary Cohen over at VSiN.com, he wrote up Shota Imanaga 5.5 strikeouts over and a little ladder up to 6.5 at plus 157. And our morning host, Jensen Lewis, you call him what, the machine gun?
He's got a bunch of nicknames. Old number 50, the machine gun. He fires, rapid fires plays. And you know what? He's been pretty hot lately on baseball, which is a good thing.
Under 8.5 for Jensen Lewis. And then VSiN Jolt has over 1.5 total bases for Chase Meredith. So there you go. Some plays over at the VSiN.com picks page. First pitch at Wrigley Field tonight, scheduled for a little bit after 8 o'clock Eastern. Shota Imanaga versus Luis Castillo. Total, once again, 8.5. Jensen likes under 8.5. Dustin Swedelson, first five with the White Sox at plus money. Christopher Sanchez on the hill for the Philadelphia Phillies, and right now that game, bottom of the second inning, two scoreless innings for Christopher Sanchez. Coming up in just a little bit, Matt, the actually just underway, top of the first inning, Padres and Mets. Mets sweeping the Nationals just when there's nothing on the line. That's when the Mets will start winning baseball games. Nolan McClain pitching for the New York Mets as they went off as slight favorites against Walker Buehler and the San Diego Padres. And Blake Snell, Matt, can he get the Dodgers headed back in the right direction? We've got some stats to tell you guys about regarding the Dodgers and the struggles that they have had over the past month or so. We're up and running. It is VSiN Primetime on a Monday evening. The AP Top 25 is out. We are getting closer and closer, less than 2 weeks away from the start of the college football season. We'll dive into some news and notes looking ahead to the college football season next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Our game of the night coming up in about an hour or so, a little less than an hour. Wrigley Field, the Chicago Cubs hosting the Chicago White Sox. Right now, the Orioles 3-1 lead over the Tampa Bay Rays after trading Adley Rutschman in a monster deal that netted a bunch of future prospects for the Orioles. They have started to play decent baseball, and because the bottom of the American League wildcard is so soft, the Baltimore Orioles, at an under 500 mark, are currently the occupant of the final wildcard spot in the American League. We could, the season ended today, and I know we still have a month plus left, Matt, but we would have four AL East teams in the playoffs.
Yeah. And, I mean, three of those teams, I think, are serious contenders to win the American League. I wouldn't consider the Orioles serious contenders to win the league, but would you be surprised if the Rays, Yankees, or Red Sox were in a World Series? No.
Absolutely not. No. I think that is more than a fair point to make, and we'll keep our eyes on Orioles, Rays. Yankees off tonight. Phillies, Marlins going on right now with Christopher Sanchez pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies. Over the weekend, Jacob Mizorowski was good. I mean, not crazy Miz-esque, but still good enough for the Brewers to get that win on Saturday. Padres-Mets underway at Citi Field. The Padres in the thick of it, too, in the NL wild card. They currently are tied with the Phillies for the second wild card spot, and the Arizona Diamondbacks a game back in the National League wild card. Matt, I wanted to mention this, and I think I heard Mitch talk about it as well. So the news today of Jordan Tyson's injury. So he's expected to be out 2 months, at least 2 months, with a hamstring injury. And you know football injuries, Matt, hamstring injuries, especially for wide receivers, that could linger all year long, potentially. So Circa has dropped Jordan Tyson to 150-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. DraftKings hasn't gotten that aggressive. But I was curious, Matt, because over the weekend, DeJuan Stribling, the wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. He was picked in the second round out of Ole Miss. He made his debut, and he had 7 receptions in the first half. Now, you don't want to overreact to a preseason game. We talked about it on Thursday night with Jeremiah Love playing as well as he did, or Carson Beck in the Hall of Fame game. But sometimes you just look at numbers and things are a bit off. So DeJuan's dribbling with the injuries that the 49ers have been dealing with at the wide receiver position. He is 13-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year here at Circa. 15-1 to win Rookie of the Year at DraftKings. If you just happen to be in the state of Nevada and you have Stations as a Stations Casino app, which you and I both have, our buddy Chuck Esposito, he is 30-1.
Get it now.
To win Rookie of the
Year. It's not going to sit there too long.
So Offensive Rookie of the Year, DeJuan Stribling. I have made that bet 30-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. So, like, you hear us say it all the time, Matt, shop around. In these markets, Rookie of the Year markets, you got to look around because there might just be off-market numbers. And Stations Casino, if you happen to be in the state of Nevada and you've got your app ready to roll, 30-1 as opposed to Circa, which is sitting at 13-1. So,
well, I mean, I don't think Stribling's going to win Rookie of the Year, but there are a lot of cases in sports betting where you just have to take the good number. And if, he could be in contention, and 30-1 is much higher than the market, so take it, right? Which is what you did.
And you got, you know, Christian Kirk, history of injuries, Debo Samuel, history of injuries, mm-hmm. Mike Evans, history of injuries. So who knows? George Kittle coming off a massive injury. So I did take a little nibble on 30-1. Also, by the way, Stations Casino does have the best price in the market on Jadarian Price of the Seattle Seahawks. He's 9-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year as opposed to 6-1 or plus 650. So those are 2 bets that I have made, and just passing across there with the news regarding Jordan Tyson being out at least 2 months. Matt, did you have a bet on Scottie Scheffler?
I did. You know, we talked about it on the show here last week, and Jim Nantz predicted that Scottie was going to win one of these playoff events, right? We ran that clip, and Nantz said, I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I would bet on Scottie to win one of these playoff events. And I did. I've lost plenty on Scotty this year, thinking he was going to win at the Masters, one of the other majors. So maybe I'm back to even on Scheffler now. But I got him at 5-1 over the weekend. And Tim, it's nice to have a rocking chair winner in golf, which is very rare. If Scotty ran away with it on Sunday, Sungjae Im did not put any pressure on him. I also had Sam Burns at 23-1. That's the other player I bet. And Burns is in second going into Sunday. He did his usual Sunday fade. But Scottie Scheffler ran away from the field in Memphis, and he was the king in Memphis over the weekend. And I thought Scottie was due to win. 5-1 was a decent price. Had to take it. And it's nice to get some money back. Maybe I'm back to even on Scottie.
All right, quick update. I just got a text from someone in the area.
Mm-hmm.
DeJuan Stribling 30-1 is no more.
It's gone.
10-1.
Tim, you're moving the market.
Maybe Mitch is. I give Mitch credit because I heard him mention it on Follow the Money. So okay. Maybe Mitch is. But wow, 30-1 down to 10-1.
So Mitch bet it too?
I heard him mention it. I assume he got in on it.
All right. So
good job, Mitch.
Mitch and Murray moving the market. That's all it takes, really, is a couple bets on him. And then somebody who's sitting back there says, why are we taking bets on? Oh, wait a minute. We're much higher than the market. 30-1 goes to 10-1, just like that. No more bets on Stribling. You're going to show up at that book tonight.
Do not bet it at 10-1. Go bet it somewhere else if you want to bet it there. But, that is where we sit right now. So Scottie Scheffler takes care of business this weekend. And a lot of college football news. You know, Matt, we're going to talk to Brett McMurphy with some of the trends out there. The AP poll comes out. Anything interesting jump out to you regarding the AP Top 25? Do you ever put any stock? I probably know the answer to it, but do you put any stock into the preseason AP Top 25?
Not really. It's just kind of a curiosity sometimes, a talking point. And, during the season, occasionally you can use the rankings to your advantage as a handicapper, right? When we're talking about an unranked team being an underdog to a ranked team, you know, we talk about those sort of situations
being
once in a while.
Huh? You mean being a favorite? Yeah.
That's what I mean. But, an unranked team being a favorite against a ranked team, some sort of situations like that pop up. But, not right now. It's just, look, the voters have so many biases. This is why I don't care much about the AP Top 25, right? you get the writers and broadcasters from all over the country, and they're going to favor the conference that they cover. SEC media is going to be voting the SEC teams higher, blah, blah, blah. It goes like that. And you got a bunch of Notre Dame haters out there as well. So you throw all the votes in a hat, and this is how it comes out. It means really nothing. Last year at this time, the voters loved Penn State and Texas and Clemson. And how'd that turn out?
LSU? We had three preseason top 10 teams not finished ranked a year ago. But I will say, and I'm not going to give them too much kudos, but the top seven is accurate, I think. Those are the seven teams we've talked about. I think those are the seven teams that can win the national title.
That's the same top seven we have in the BSN College Football Betting Guide.
You know, you could tweak it one way or the other.
How is Texas A&M number eight? I don't like that. On the AP Top 25.
I guess coming off a playoff season, Marcel Reed is back. By the way, the Orioles have squandered their lead. Three-run homer for the Tampa Bay Rays. It is now 4-3.
Look at the fans at the Trop going
wild.
It is packed. Holy smokes.
They're wondering, the people in Tampa are more concerned about the Yankees and whether or not John Summerall is going to turn things around for Florida. But this nugget from Brett McMurphy, of the 22 previous number one ranked teams in the AP preseason poll, 20 have failed to win the national title. The last national champion that was preseason number one, Alabama, 10 years ago.
I believe we talked about the same thing in the college basketball season when the poll came out. Purdue was a preseason number one. I said, well, Purdue's screwed. Not going to win it now. I think the last time the preseason number one team won it in college basketball, wasn't that like North Carolina in 2009 or something like that? 2008. I mean, it's been about 15 years, or it happened once in the last 15 years. The preseason number one team, bottom line, rarely wins it.
Now, this is an interesting nugget from Brett. In 19 of the last 22 years, the national champion has been in the top seven. Obviously, the big caveat being a year ago when Indiana was preseason number 20, but the preseason champion has been in the top seven 19 of the last 22 years, and I think you and I are rather confident that the champion is in that top seven.
Yeah, the top seven being Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, Texas, Indiana, Miami. I think it's a pretty good bet that the champ's going to come from there. But what would you price that? Cool. Will the national champion come from the top seven or from the field? You know, we'll have Chris Andrews or somebody put a price on that. But I think you would be really surprised if it did not come from one of those teams in the top seven.
There was a new Chris Andrews prop that he put up last week that I want to talk about on the show, Matt. What conference will win the title? Big 10, SEC, or the field? And we can discuss that later on in the show. By the way, speaking of that preseason top 25 or top 50 that Matt put together with Paul Stone, you can get that in our VSiN College Football Preview Magazine, which is just $9.99, an intro offer over at VSiN.com. Check it out, VSiN.com/subscribe.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
1-0 Mets have the lead in the bottom of the first inning against Walker Buehler and the San Diego Padres. Still scoreless in Philadelphia between the Phillies and the Marlins, but a man on second right now is Trey Turner. Has a single through the left side of the infield, and that will score a run. So the Phillies take a early 1-0 lead right now. Take a look at the live betting market right now on Phillies Marlins. Phillies with that base hit, Matt, moved to $4.92 favorite. Actually, -572 right now after that RBI single from Trey Turner. Tampa Bay has a 4-3 lead thanks to a home run just a moment ago. But, Matt, look at that TV right now. The Polar Bear is about to go yard.
Polar Bear Pete's about to tie this game at 4. And that's opposite field, barely inside the foul pole. And nice job by Pete. That's about a 330-foot shot there, opposite field. 28 home runs now for the Polar Bear, tied at 4. Before that home run, the Rays were -280. Now, Rays minus 140. It chopped the price in half.
And Polar Bear coming off of a big week where he was named American League Player of the Week.
Can you tell me why the Mets were in such a hurry to get rid of him the past couple years? They didn't want to bring him back in 2025 and obviously let him go before. Why were the Mets, who have made so many bad decisions in terms of personnel, why did they want to get rid of him?
I was going to say, Matt, they've made great moves. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Trading for Freddie Peralta.
And they got lucky that the Dodgers took him off the hook for Kyle Tucker.
Oh, my gosh. We need to get we'll get to Kyle Tucker, who's getting booed over the weekend, missing a fly ball in right field. What a disaster.
Well, you think a disaster is 0 for 19 on the homestand and dropping a fly ball? I don't know, Tim. It's not that bad.
I mean, Matt, if we went, if we had as many hits as Kyle Tucker this weekend, would we make $60 million annually?
I don't know, but I'd like to have 19 at-bats just to see if I could get one hit.
Do you think you could have caught that fly ball to right field? Once again, Mets up 1-0. Red Sox in action against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And that game just underway, headed to the bottom of the second inning. Red Sox, a $1.59 favorite. Once again, our game of the night, White Sox and Cubs. We'll circle back to that game in just a little bit. Cubs right now around the $1.50 favorite or so against the Chicago White Sox. Matt, it was great to have football over the weekend, doing the Saturday show, seeing line moves, talking about games, even though they were preseason. Last Thursday night, you and I being on the air for, what was that, six preseason games, Fernando Mendoza's debut. And
some of the games were really entertaining. I thought some of the games were well played. Some of the games were not. Pretty ugly, but that's what you're going to get, a mixed bag in the preseason.
Well, the big one, in a sense,
boy,
was the Cleveland Browns taking on the Chicago Bears. The Cleveland Browns have a true quarterback competition, Matt. The Chicago Bears threw out Tyson Badgett. They didn't want to have Caleb Williams out there. Well, after a quick start for the Cleveland Browns, the Bears scored 34 unanswered, and as a three-point dog, the Bears won 34-10. What was your takeaway of the QB competition with Deshaun Watson going 11 of 15, Shedeur Sanders 6 of 11 with a pick, and Dylan Gabriel 5 of 8 with a pick as well?
Hey, Tim, can you catch this?
Yes.
Well, you almost did.
Oh, I didn't know if I was supposed to miss it or not.
That's the type of passes Deshaun Watson was throwing on Saturday. At the line of scrimmage, very short completions. And then one thing, I have a bunch of takeaways from this game. And again, Friday night, we were on the air, Will Hill and I, and our producer, Corey York, is a diehard Cleveland Browns fan. God, what a sad existence that is.
at least you had the Cavs in 2016. Yeah, he's got that going for you.
But anyway, I talked about this, and I said, look, I've got the Browns minus one. Will Hill had the same bet. And I said, everybody this week is on the Browns, and I have a feeling this is not going to go well, right? So do we take back Bears plus 3 or 3.5? Tomorrow there were a couple 3.5s out there, and Will and I agreed that was probably the right thing to do. I did. I took Bears 3.5 back before the game. You got a little middle shot there just in case, kind of getting off the play, but the key is, you know, when you bet it, you lay the good number with the Browns minus one. It goes up to 3, 3.5. You got a mental shot. You can get off the game if you want. It just felt to me like it was a classic situation where all week, all you heard were Browns opinions, including mine, and it was probably not going to go well. Well, the Browns got up 10-0, Tim. Looking good.
Yeah,
looking good. Up
10-0.
At that point, you could have live bet the Bears, and that would have been a really good idea, too. But Deshaun Watson, it was all short stuff. He didn't throw the ball downfield at all. Easy completions, like he was afraid to make a mistake. And it's almost like a conservative player at the poker table. You know, you don't want to take a chance or anything. And then when Shedeur Sanders came in, the announcers said, Shedeur needs to do the opposite of what Deshaun Watson did. He's got to force this ball downfield, show the coaches he can make some plays. He showed the opposite. He did try to force the ball downfield, made some mistakes. A series of not very accurate throws. And then Dylan Gabriel came in, and he was even worse. And it was a typical Cleveland Browns performance. And you can't be that surprised. I think that the head coach, Todd Monken, was just as bad as his quarterback. So there was a situation, Tim, where it was fourth and about two at the Bears, I'm going to say 12-yard line in the second quarter. And the Browns still have the lead, and things are going well in the game. What do you think Todd Monken dialed up on 4th and 2? He sent in a power formation and ran the ball up the middle for no gain. The play had no chance whatsoever. And the play calling throughout the day for the Browns was pretty bad in general. And I thought, you know, with 10 new head coaches hired in the NFL this year, Todd Monken was the worst hire. I would rank him number 10. Now I'd rank him like 38th. He's terrible. This guy is unbelievably bad. You know, it was a bad hire at the time. It's even worse now. It's a hopeless situation with the Browns. I was looking, I'm going to be in the Westgate Superbook Caesars NFL win total contest. And the Browns, I thought, were going to be a little bit of a difficult decision. I'm playing the Browns under. I don't know, with this coach and these quarterbacks, how you can be optimistic about this team.
You know, I got asked a question late last week. Anything in the preseason change your opinion on what to do for a win total? I was trying to remember back. It was like 2 or 3 years ago, watching the Jags play in the preseason. I said, that team is utterly hopeless. And I bet them under their win total that night. Feels like, Matt, that's the way you're feeling about the Cleveland Browns.
I don't know how you can feel much differently, you know, when you watch them. They've got a couple of talented players out there, but, you know, after trading Myles Garrett, it's a rebuild situation. I really think the Browns need to be bad this year, too, because this quarterback draft's going to be loaded, and you can start the total rebuild from the bottom with a new quarterback, but I don't see it with the Browns. I'm not going to be betting this team really in many or any situations going forward. It was embarrassing how bad they were Saturday. And when you give up 34 straight points in a preseason game, look, and Dan Orlovsky is one of my least favorite analysts, but he's got an opinion here that I probably agree with, so let's roll the tape on Orlovsky on ESPN.
After preseason week one, it's not close, the competition, and I've been pumping Shador to be the guy. I thought Deshaun played faster, he saw it cleaner, and the ball jumped off his hands a lot more. So the good, this is a simple concept. It's curl flat, but once he sees the defenders kind of split, 1, 2, 3, ball has to come out right now. I thought this is something that I was surprised by Deshaun. The ball came out quickly, okay? So that is a good thing. Now, a player, too, that you'd love to have back is he goes to pull the trigger at the bottom of the screen. That guy's open. Throw it. Then he goes to set to the top of the screen. That guy's open. Throw it. This is first down. Instead, he doesn't throw to either of the deep options, becomes a scramble guy, and then that's only a one-yard run. So I do think that there were a moment or two of rust, but if you just looked at the snaps as a body of work, Deshaun was clearly better in the game, and even though I've been sitting here pounding the table of, like, start Shador because it makes more sense to start Shador, yeah. I did not find after preseason week one that it was all that close, off game.
So on Saturday, Matt, Cleveland will play Buffalo at home, and Shador is expected to get the start in that game. Mm-hmm. And I think Deshaun will come in second. We'll talk to Jonathan Peterlin in hour number two here on just the aftermath of what we saw. But you said you agree with that opinion, that right now it's got to be Watson.
I think it's fairly obvious. And here's another reason. We'll talk about it next hour, too. But considering what you gave up in the trade and the subsequent contract extension for Deshaun Watson, you have so much invested in this quarterback. I think you have to start the season with him. See what he can do in the first month. And if he's, you know, what we expect, if he's mediocre to bad and the Browns are losing, then you can make a quarterback switch. You can go from the veteran, you can bench the veteran, then go to the younger guy and say, Shador, it's your time. But I think you've got to give Deshaun Watson one more chance here. I don't expect a lot from him, but I think you've got to give him one more chance. Tim, he's a shell of what he used to be, and you can see it. If you didn't watch the game and you just looked at the box score and said, well, he's 11 for 15, 126 yards, no picks. If you watched it, it was a joke. It was all short throws, safe stuff. He wasn't taking any chances. But I still think he's going to be your guy. Sanders came in through a pick. Gabriel came in through a pick. You don't have really any other options. I think start Watson, and then if it doesn't work out in the first month, then you can switch quarterback.
Important games going on for wild card playoff berths, pennant races. We'll get you updated as well as discuss our game of the night, which will be taking place in Chicago.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up top of the hour, Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook, will jump on and tell us how the weekend was for the sports books. Usually, Matt, when you get a situation like this, and Brad Powers, our buddy, tweeted this out regarding the weekend that was, underdogs 9-6-1 straight up, 11-4-1 ATS. Mm-hmm. Unders 12-4 tends to be a good evening or good week for the sports books. Now, it's the preseason, so I'm sure it wasn't massive bets, but I had over the weekend, I texted with our buddy Chuck Esposito regarding the Raiders game. He said that was a very good result, game going under, and the Raiders losing that game outright to the Arizona Cardinals. And Thomas Gable from the Borgata in Atlantic City had mentioned that the Thursday and Friday results, when he joined me on Saturday, were very good for the house.
Yeah, it's interesting because I bet one game under or one game over 38.5, that Steelers game, and it landed on 37. It went under. And like you said, unders were 12-4. Last year, NFL preseason week one averaged 44.8 points. Last year was a high-scoring first week. This year, that trend did not follow that. But the crazy thing here, as Brad Powers pointed out and others have on Twitter as well, the steam on these moves, right? I talked about laying good numbers with the Raiders, -1, Browns, -1. Didn't matter. If you steam chased every three-point move or more, 0-10-1 against the spread. Tim, that's hard to believe. 0-10-1 on steam moves in the preseason. That's a good week for the bookmakers.
Yeah, and sometimes you look at the moves in the preseason, and those are usually more sharp moves. So probably some of those wise guys were getting hit pretty hard, too. 0-10-1 ATS. Jeff Sherman will join us tomorrow as well, so we will get the latest from behind the counter here at Circa. But as mentioned, Johnny Avello, top of the hour. Matt, we got a tweet. You could always tweet the show. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. Matt's at Matt Humans 247 at VSIN Live. Scola chimed in and said the Browns, Matt Brown pointed out that the Browns are -$2 to come in last place in the AFC North. I know it's laying a bunch, but seems likely. So there you go. Little insight there.
Well, it's not a bad bet.
-$2, but you look around. I mean, I'm not high on the Pittsburgh Steelers, but like you mentioned, if you watch the Steelers-Packers game like we did on Thursday, and then you watch the Browns game, it does look like two very different teams.
I don't think the success of the Steelers hinges on the quarterback, right? If Aaron Rodgers goes down, I think they can still win with Mason Rudolph, or it might be Will Howard, whoever it might be. The Browns, I don't think they have a quarterback on the roster they can win with. At least not to get to 6 wins, which is what you'd probably need to get out of the division cellar, and I don't think it's going to happen here. So Browns -200 to finish last. I think I could probably sign up for that bet.
If you go to DraftKings.
Shop around, see if you can find a better number. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm telling people, if you were to look at DraftKings, I haven't looked around, which obviously you need to do, but go to the Futures tab, click on Divisions, Division Standings. There's so many offerings at DraftKings. And then you go to Division Standings, Cleveland to finish 4th, -200. Finishing first, Matt, 21-1. You want to
pass?
You want to pass on that one?
I'll pass.
Not a believer in the Cleveland Browns. All right, let's update folks on a little baseball action going on here. As the Orioles, we mentioned last time we gave you an update, they had tied the game at 4 thanks to a polar bear solo shot to right field. And Canarcio Strand just went yard as he has made it 6-4. Orioles with the lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. Orioles now -311 on the money.
How about that shift? Because Rays up 4-3, they were -280. Now they're +260. That's how the live lines are fluctuating on that game in Tampa tonight. Tigers up on the Pirates 4-0. Tigers also now -400 in that one. And just underway between the D-backs and the Red Sox at Fenway and the A's and the Royals in Kansas City. Michael Wacha, a big favorite tonight, but he's down 1-0 in the first.
Philadelphia Phillies have a 2-0 lead right now as they score both those runs in the bottom of the third inning. You're giving Christopher Sanchez a decent amount of wiggle room there. 3 scoreless innings for Christopher Sanchez, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks, giving up 3 hits. So his pitch count's getting up there. He's already at 53 pitches in the top of the fourth inning for the Philadelphia Phillies ace. Once again, Phillies coming into the day tied with San Diego, both at 67 and 58, the second and third spot in the National League wildcard race. The Diamondbacks in a big one here against the Boston Red Sox. And as you mentioned, Matt, that game is scoreless right now. Bottom of the second inning, Red Sox do have a man on second base. So we will see if the Red Sox can get the lead there in the bottom of the second. Red Sox currently the second wild card spot. So if the season ended today, Matt, we'd get a Yankees hosting Red Sox three-game wild card series.
We got to have that last year.
We did have it last year.
Cam Schlittler shut down the Red Sox to help the Yankees win that series. It's interesting, that Cy Young race over the weekend, Schlittler had a pretty good start in Toronto, did not get the win. Then the next day, Dylan Cease went out and had a really good start, did not get the win. So not much change as far as that AL Cy Young race between those guys. Yankees right now just really struggling to produce offense. And I know in early September they expect to get Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, Giancarlo Stanton back. I don't know if Judge is going to be back maybe until mid-September, but Yankees are a tough bet right now. They've got so many starters who go out and put up quality starts, six innings, one run, and they're not winning a lot of these games. And that's been a problem for them, but they're still in pretty good position. Hopefully they can get healthy in September. By the way, the Orioles threatening to score again here with runners on the corners and two outs in the top of the sixth. 6-4 Baltimore over Tampa Bay.
Baltimore Orioles looking for a four-game sweep of the Tampa Bay Rays down in Tampa. And yet, the Rays still have a 5.5 game lead in the AL East over the New York Yankees, 8.5 over the Red Sox. They built themselves quite the cushion, but man, what a series. And one series could completely flip everything. And right now, the Orioles up to chance to add more, as Matt, you mentioned, would be a four-game sweep for the Baltimore Orioles over the Tampa Bay Rays.
As so many things are unpredictable in baseball. You know, it's who thought the A's were going to win the last two games of the series against the Red Sox at Fenway a week and a half ago?
It was 27-3, and they dropped two in a row to the A's.
It's incredible.
who had lost 12 straight series.
I imagine there were some bettors out there today who said, well, let's throw the Rays on a parlay. They're not going to lose four in a row to the Orioles. Well, they're about to lose four in a row to the Orioles.
Can't possibly get swept in a four-game series by the Orioles. Pete Alonso, how about this? 8 for 15 in the series, Matt. Three extra base hits, a home run, just had a single there in the top of the sixth inning.
That's a better series than Kyle Tucker had against the Brewers over the weekend.
Matt, how did he do
Weekend? No? Not well. No, I said it's interesting because the Dodgers, we give them so much credit for making shrewd moves. And yeah, they got all the money, but they make really good decisions as well. And they made a lot of bad moves, too. You know, they traded away Yordan Alvarez back in the day. That was a really dumb deal. I did not like the Edwin Diaz deal over the offseason. I'm not a believer in Diaz and less of a believer now. Kyle Tucker, when they signed him for $60 million a year, I said, I don't know if I'd give that guy $25 million a year. Dodgers give him $60 million. At some point, those bills come due. When you overpay everybody, Dodgers are going to have to pay up some point down the road. But speaking of baseball, here at VSIN, we had futures drafts for the NFL last year and for baseball in the spring. And we have another NFL draft on tap this week, Tim.
Looking forward to it. The second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSIN hosts. Look at those handsome faces right there. And guests will face off in a fantasy football-style snake draft hosted by Dustin Sweetelson. Every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you can use. Win totals, division winners, player props, and stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, joined by three newcomers stepping into the futures draft room for the first time. We get former wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson, comedian and sports commentator Nick Buckeye, and the guru.
Nick Buckeye,
excuse me. My bad.
That's a good one.
See how it says right there?
What? It says Buckeye?
Buckeye.
Who did that?
I don't know. It's phonetically on my...
Nick Buckeye. Okay.
And the guru, John Hansen. Don't just watch the futures draft. Profit from them. Tune in Thursday, August 20th at 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSIN. I found out today I've got the 13th pick, Matt, in the first round.
How did? By the way, I saw Steve Cohen sending out the email today with the draft order. And how was the draft order determined?
It's a good question. I don't know. Was there a random drawing? Was it announced?
I don't know. He just said, here's the draft order. I want to know, were names drawn out of a hat? How did this draft order come about? If I'm Tim Murray, I'm probably not thrilled to have the 13th pick.
I got the turnaround, though, Matt. We got the 13th and the 14th pick. I know. Sometimes there's an advantage to
that. I always prefer to be in the middle. I think a lot of times you want to be in the middle so you don't have to wait too long to make a pick. And you know, Tim, you're going to be able to take a nap before you draft snakes all the way back to you. So
my first pick last year, Jaguars to win the AFC South. So I was had a good first pick. Hopefully we can duplicate that. You finished second last year, right?
I had the most winners. I had went 6-4 on the 10 picks. I had the most winners, but Patrick Maher hit a 15-1 shot that nipped me, and he ended up the champion.